Hi, everybody. Welcome to Great Questions, Great Conversations. I'm the host, Mike Westendorf, and joined with me today is one of our favorite people as we dive deeper into Bible and theology. This is Pastor Pete Panitsky. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Mike. Hello, everybody who's listening.
It is great to be able to restart this. We took some time off after our first season ever really doing this, and we're now having an opportunity to jump back into things. And for those of you who are just joining us, maybe for the first time, welcome. We're grateful to have you here. The idea with behind this podcast was that we get asked some really good questions about Christianity, about matters of faith. Sometimes it's wrestling with doubts and harder topics. And so we thought we would take those great questions and ask people to sit down and have a great conversation. And I think that today we've got a good one coming up for us. And so just to give you a quick setup for those who are listening in, we are in a message series that we called Rethinking Religion. And we were talking today about this past weekend about Pastor Pete had the sermon about the idea of the cross and the crosses that we bear. And the Bible passage specifically from Mark chapter 8 says this: if anyone wants to follow me, some translations will say must, but the one we looked at, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so what we're going to talk about today is something called the theology of the cross, and Pastor Pete has been a huge help for me in this, and we want to get started with that. So Pastor Pete, as we dive into this, if you can help us talk a little bit and get this understanding before we really talk about the theology of it, but what are we talking about when we speak of the cross?
Thank you, Mike. So first of all, I'm just going to give credit where credit's due. I reread a book by Dan Deutschlander, who was a professor at Martin Luther College. He wrote the book Theology of the Cross. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage you to order that book. And it's kind of heavy reading, but great stuff. And so a lot of this stuff I'm sharing, just trying to share some of the things that I learned from Professor Deutschlander. But I think the easiest way to think about the theology of the cross is to contrast it with a theology of glory, which is what we naturally fall into. The theology of glory is, if we are God's children, that, mm-hmm. that God has forgiven us and he has claimed us as his own, then things should kind of go our way. And if we do what God wants, then we should get good things back from God. And that's just a natural way to think about things. But that's not what God's promised. Instead, Jesus, right after he'd described his journey, that he was, for the first time, he told his disciples, I'm going to go to the cross, suffer, mm-hmm. die, and then rise again. And he invited them, come along with me. You can't have the glory until first you follow me by taking up your cross. And suffering and challenge is just a part of our lives as Christians. But we tend to think, oh, we're Christians, everything should go great. So not theology of glory, but theology of cross. This is what God has called us to experience in this life.
And we've talked a little bit about this topic. Spirit of full disclosure, we actually had this conversation earlier today, and I forgot to hit record. You could tell we were getting started back for the first time. And it was a great conversation. And so there's a couple of points. It's like, man, there were some really good ones that we had that I want to make sure that we bring back. And when we were talking about this theology of glory, and again, if you're newer to Christianity, this sounds like they're really, really big words, but putting it into practical terms, the idea that, and I've heard this said before by people, and I've felt this, especially if faith takes a jump, but I've heard from people who are newer to Christianity, especially if they came to faith later in life, like as adults, that when I put my faith in Jesus, when faith came and Christianity, I'm a part of the church, I thought life was going to be easier. Like, now I'm in it and Jesus is protecting me. And why is it now that my life has suddenly gotten much, much harder? And that's part of that tendency to fall toward if I do this, I get this, which makes a lot of sense, but that's not actually the way it what works. We're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
In terms of Christian life.
Yeah. And somebody at the Mint team said, we tend to think of God as a vending machine God. We put in all the right stuff. You know, we pray and we do, you know, we're doing God's will. The right stuff should come out that we want. And that's just not the way it works.
Right.
God never promised that.
And I mentioned this too, because as we were talking about it last time with the theology of the cross, the idea that Jesus' life was deny self. He was going to suffer. And I love the way that you put it. You know, you get to the glory that's the ultimate glory through, quite frankly, death and resurrection, you know, death to self and the resurrection that God gives. But, you know, as we're talking about theology of glory, and I'm talking now to just, you know, more of our Lutheran brothers and sisters, I don't know about you guys, but for me, I grew up kind of thinking, all right, there's these other church bodies that have this theology of glory, and this is what they're talking about. And I never quite fully understood it. And then I started realizing that even in my best efforts as a person who comes from, you know, the Lutheran background, that I can actually inadvertently apply a certain level of pressure or expectation that can be misread. In other words, you know, like, have you prayed? Have you done X, Y, and Z? And some of that is a good question. It's an accountability thing that we actually all need. Mm-hmm. But I can go so quickly over that I can imply that the reason why you're suffering and the reason why it's not getting better is perhaps because you haven't done X, Y, or Z.
And that was Job's friends, right?
Yeah.
In the Old Testament book of Job.
Yeah.
Job, you're suffering because you must not have done X, Y, and Z, and you sure did the opposite. You did something bad, and God must be punishing you.
Right.
And I mean, that's where we naturally fall. If something doesn't go right, God must be punishing me, and I must not be doing something right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I thought was interesting, too, just to help people with the picture, in your sermon, you gave us four circles in the history of the cross. And it was interesting to see that before the fall, there was no cross. Obviously, we had perfect, Adam and Eve had a perfect relationship with their maker, with their creator. But after the fall, there was no cross. And I'm going to ask you speak into this. We didn't do this last time. I skipped over it. It was after conversion, in other words, when faith came, that the cross appeared. And then, of course, when we die and we are with our Savior in heaven, that cross is removed for all eternity. But why was there no cross after the fall? Why was there a cross after what we call conversion?
Right. So we tend to think of the cross as suffering. The consequences of sin, right? That you get sick, you die, you have marriage problems. Adam and Eve had all of that. Unbelievers have that. But Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. You can't take up cancer. It's not something you can take up. These are consequences of sin. But for us as Christians, to take up the cross is really to say no to ourselves, to give ourselves up, and to say no to ourselves and yes to God's will. So before the fall into sin, there was a messed up world. Before the promise of the Savior, as Adam and Eve are scurrying for cover from God, and they're angry at God and pointing at God and saying, you know, you gave me a defaulty woman,
up.
You know, it's your fault, God. There was hostility, but there wasn't any submission. Taking up the cross is putting to death your own will and saying, God, your will be done. So when you get cancer, it's not the cancer that's the cross. It is, Lord, help me submit to your will to see that you have a good and godly loving purpose, and that you're not punishing me with this cancer, that you have a you still love me, and your will, your kingdom come, your name be glorified, and just give me the strength to bear it.
Yeah. So kind of going back to that picture of Adam and Eve, there was a space of hostility, but once the promise of the Savior came, that's Genesis 3, once the promise came, now there was that idea of submission, that now there is a, as we walk with God, help me understand that part just a bit.
Yeah, so I see it already in the way that Adam names his wife Eve. He does not call her Mavet. He doesn't call her death, right? You brought death in the world, Eve. No, he says you're Eve. Eve means life. So it's a submission to saying, I am going to trust God's good plan and purpose, and I'm going to submit to His will. You don't see it a lot because we don't know very much about Adam and Eve after the fall, right? But we certainly see it as life goes on. Christians or believers in the Old Testament live their lives in submission to God. I think of Joseph in Egypt, when his Potiphar's wife tempts him to have an adulterous affair, and Joseph takes up the cross. He says, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? The easy thing to do would be to give in to you, but that's not God's will, and I will suffer the punishment or the consequences of doing God's will. I'll take up my cross and follow Jesus."
So that's, as we go forward, one of the things that I remember us talking a little bit about is you had the phrase "dear cross," because I have oftentimes usually thought about that idea of pick up your cross and follow me. In other words, it kind of had the connotation of, all right, if you're struggling with suffering, just suck it up. That's your cross. So it was always kind of it was maybe a little bit more of that law idea. You must do this, and instead of the invitation to let us deny ourselves, because there is a good that is in this as well. We talked a little bit the idea of it's a willing submission. Some of that is going to lead to a kind of suffering. Missing out. You mentioned Joseph. So many pictures of people in the Bible who said, God says, this is what it looks like to walk with me. And it's counter to the rest of the culture. And there are consequences that are painful. And yet there is also blessing because it is following in Jesus. And so you called it a dear cross.
Yeah, so this is Deutschlander's terminology, although he uses German. You have to think about it is as we bear the cross, as we are challenged in life to submit our will to God's will, that that's when our God is most glorified. When people see that you're struggling. I think of an elderly person who's got terminal cancer. And man, that's a heavy burden to bear. And yet they take up their cross. They deny the desire to be bitter and angry and frustrated. And they're kind and generous and thankful for the people who serve them. Boy, they can glorify God in a way that they could never have glorified God if they didn't bear the cross of having to live with this pain and suffering and submitting themselves to God's will in a difficult situation. So it's a dear cross because it helps us focus on what's important. that Jesus is all. You have the
Yeah.
song that let Jesus be all that remains, right?
Yeah.
Jesus, just let you be everything that I really need. Well, how do we grow in that? It says we see God taking things away. I go,
Right.
okay, I don't need that. Now I have you. I don't need that.
Right.
So my faith is strengthened, and then his name is glorified best in some of our toughest times.
Was at a conference down in Texas not too long ago, and he was the speaker was speaking from 2 Corinthians 1:3-7. So another one of these places of suffering, and he mentioned that your suffering is preparing you to receive the deep comfort of Christ instead of the passing comfort of this world that is destined to die. That's the plan. When it was hard to hear that, and I thought it was really odd because it was like the morning devotion. It's like, we're going to start this great conference together. Let's talk about suffering, shall we? And that's the plan, except that as you then unpack that how the great comfort, if we don't, just the idea, when we receive comfort, that picture from 2 Corinthians, that we're receiving this as we suffer so that we then have a comfort to give to those who are suffering. And it's in that a lot of people in the world actually start to begin to see what Jesus is actually talking about, because it's so easy to go to the theology of glory. Just do this and life should be better, but it's not. So it doesn't work. You're missing it.
And when you and especially in your role as a leader in your family as the pastor of your family church
Right.
or leader in your place of work, people are connected to you, not really in those times when everything is easy.
Right.
It's when they see that you are striving to be godly. Living out your faith when things are really tough. Just a few years after I got here, my son-in-law passed away, and I had quite a few members who were kind of on my prayer team, just sharing the struggles and the highs and lows, I think I grew incredibly close to some of those people just because they saw me in my time of great sorrow and sadness, and God used that to bind us together in an incredible way. I never want to go through that pain again. It was a horrible, horrible time, and yet I think there were a lot of people who were comforted as they saw us go through this.
Yeah. One of the things that you brought out is part of the book and in part of your message that I'd like us to go through that I thought was really helpful, because again, for all of you who are listening in, you're in different seasons of life. And so the cross that we bear, understanding it the way that we're talking about it today, it looks differently at different seasons of life. And you kind of took three. And I just want to go through these just to help people orient themselves to the kinds of crosses that we bear at different seasons of our life and how we might respond to that. So you had talked about the cross of the young. Would you mind talking a little bit more about, what does that look like, and what is it that God is then asking us to carry, actually, if
Right.
this is what it is? What feels like.
Right. So the shape of the cross, and again, kudos to Professor Deutschlander and his book, Theology of the Cross. I actually copied some of his pages and put them into the worship folder. But our cross is really all about submitting to God, right? Submitting our will to God's will, and I prefaced it with submitting our will to God's law. And I used, love is patient, love is kind, and wow, to be loving and patient towards people who are not very nice to us. That is a cross that is saying no to myself and yes to God. And then also saying no to myself and yes to God's saving will in the gospel, that we very often fall into despair because somehow we feel like we made the mess and we have to figure it out and make it right. You know, that somehow the gospel is true for everybody else, but not for me, you know. And so submitting to the gospel too. And I review that because both are present as we think about the shape of the cross for the young. Professor Deutschlander says, you know, kind of the key thought for the young is restlessness, you know, that there's always something more, you know, and am I missing out on something? And just, you know, like, if I don't experience it all in the next year, I'm going to, you know, something's missing. And if I don't have the that special someone in my life that some of my classmates do, you know, there's something wrong. And then this restlessness that, you know, that very often shows itself in our sexual desires, especially at that age where it's just like, you know, God's made us so that we're starting to develop that way. And there are these desires and it's like, you know, I'm missing out, you know, I better act on these desires right now. And so the cross of the young is to say no to self and say, no, I'm going to trust God's timing. It's not my timing. But if God hasn't put that special somebody in my life, I'm going to trust his timing. If he hasn't, given me the athletic or the music talents or the, you know, I'm the, you know, the well-accepted kid in class, you know, okay, that's okay. I am going to submit. It's not about me. I'm just going to serve my Savior and be content with where I'm at. I'm going to be content with his law and not act contrary to God's law. But I think Satan wants to use, you know, use the lie of you're the only one for young people in a powerful way. You're the only one who feels the way you do, so you're weird. And you're irredeemable because it doesn't apply to you. And so despair just can overwhelm you because you don't have a whole lot of experience. You know, you go through some really dark times, and the older you get, you go, oh, boy, this reminds me of a dark time that I went through before. You're going through some of this the first time. And to say, okay, Lord, even though I don't feel it, even though I don't see it, I know that you love me. I know that Jesus died for me. I know that I'm not the only one. I'm never alone, that you're right here with me. So, you know, the cross is saying no to the despair that threatens to overwhelm you. And yes to, okay, I'm going to trust God's saving will for me.
That's good. Yeah, so especially for those of you, if you're a younger person listening or, you know, a parent or grandparent of somebody who's younger, I appreciate us going through that because it's important for us to see that again in the lives of young people. I think it's really easy as we get older to make judgments and snap judgments and, oh, you know, when I was your age, blah, 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 blah. And yet when we were their age, we had the same restlessness, the same anxiety, the same easy succumbing to despair. And I think it's important too for young people to realize too, when you're looking at, if especially if you see a humble older person who's willing to sit and walk with you, that it's really good to get to know some of those people who have a humility and a gentleness, having gone through some of this, because we can remember these transitions. Because I want you to hit on the other two as well, the cross of those in the middle.
Yeah. Well, just, you know, King David's comment in Psalm 25, remember not the sins of my youth. Oh,
right.
Dear brothers and sisters who are younger than me, a lot younger than me, my grandchildren's age. You are not the only one who struggles.
Yeah.
And Jesus came to die for sinners, and that includes you. You know, And you never outgrow the cross then, you know, the next, the in the middle. And we joked, well, what's the middle? And the middle gets older the older you get. But I think, you know, as Deutschlander talked about those in the middle, I think you're basically your working career, you know, and for you know, us in the in that stage in life, in the working career, the sense of disappointment. Things don't work out the way you thought they would. You never did meet that special someone. You didn't have the children that you'd hoped to have. You're not financially where you hoped you'd be. Your career didn't work out the way you thought. So, you know, disappointment that way, or it's never enough. You know, I always have to have more. I have to have more. You know, I'm comparing myself with other people, and I have to have more. You know, nobody wants to go to a class reunion because it's comparison time, you know, and to say no, you know, to take up your cross, to deny yourself, to say, it's not about how many toys I have, and it's not about all the dreams that I had. It's about submitting to God's will and know that God's the one who's in control of my life. I just ask the Lord, let you be glorified, whatever I'm experiencing, whether it's things are going great in my family or my career, or you know, in my circle of friends, or I'm not. It's not about me, it's about you. So help me be less selfish. Beat down that selfishness so that I'm really focused on serving you. And I mean, ultimately, that's the cross, right? The cross is always saying no to selfishness, which is hard.
Yeah, I think it's neat to think about it too, and know, you know, we've talked about the youth that so much about that is a restlessness, you know, like an anxiety over getting your life started and will I have enough and questions about the future, and your heart is always restless, and even if you get something, you're still looking around. And then you get to our age, and that's the thing that has surprised me, honestly, about, you know, I'm 50 this year and I've been extremely blessed. And yet right there with contentment is this disappointment because, you know, I don't look a certain way, or I didn't accomplish X, Y, or Z, or I only have this. Like you said, I mean, comparison, you really have to fight hard against that. And so the cross every day, I know one that's been a little bit more helpful is being in God's word on a daily basis. That has been huge. It's always important, but I've just found it as I get older to be more and more important because I just see the world is so disappointing. For all of the promise that we were told when we were younger and restless, like there's all of these solutions that are out there. There's all these things, and yet people continue to die. People continue to be evil to each other. And then if I look in the mirror, I still got to recognize it in myself. And I hate that because now it's my kids or, you know, family or friends. And it's like, what? I thought by now I would get this. And so there's this constant battle for disappointment. And to your point, not being in despair, part of picking up the cross and following Jesus is to say no to those things. Where did Jesus go? How did Jesus live with a heart of contentment? And I want you to speak into, because we want to watch time. The cross of those in the golden years. This one is the golden. Those years still to come, but
But in his Professor Deutschlander's word there was callousness. You know, that we kind of get callous or bitter. And I'm sure, you know, every one of our listeners knows, you know, elderly Christians that just over the last few years have just, they kind of got mean. Because you know, it's like you start to see, you know, your body's not working the way it used to. You can see the end coming. Aren't as dependent as you used to be. It's easy to get angry at the people who basically are stepping in because you are losing the ability to be that independent person that you used to be. And man, it's easy to be angry towards them, but ultimately you're angry towards God because the stuff that you treasured, your abilities, your position in life, your health is slipping away. And it's so easy to be bitter. And what's amazing though is sometimes you just see some Christians that in a time when an awful lot of them are getting bitter and callous, they are just so accepting and so thankful for any service that you give them. And it's in the midst of their pain and suffering that their trust in the Savior shines out and is an encouragement to everyone around them. So, for us in the golden years, it's Lord, help me to be content with I'm your child, and I'm your child even if somebody has to help me, go to the bathroom and take a shower. I'm still your child, and it's okay. And I'm gonna show love towards this person who has to help me. And it's hard. It's, every age has its own cross. Everyone is hard. And they don't get easier. We have to be in the Word probably more the older we get, just because it gets harder and harder in different ways.
There are two things that kind of come to my mind as we've been talking, that going back to where we really started, that theology of glory, which is, says, if I do this, I should get. And Psalm 73, the psalmist is pretty ticked at the world. He's frustrated because it looks like everybody else is winning. I'm getting nothing. And then he comes to the pivot point where he understands where the final destination is. And his tone changes as he now gets a glimpse of, but I am in you and what it means to be in you for eternity and eternal life. And that other pivotal spot where this all hits for me, Jesus telling Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," because Peter is really ticked at him for hearing him say, "Well, I'm going to go to the cross, I'm going to die, I'm going to get beaten, betrayed, and all that, and then on the third day I rise." And Peter's just like, "That can't be the plan, because it's a really terrible plan." And Jesus tells him, "Get behind me, Satan." Like, it's the same.
Jesus, this is a terrible plan. I never heard of this said
Yeah,
that
this can't be the plan,
way.
And yet, like we said, 2 Corinthians, there's Paul saying suffering, it's the plan. That's part of how you get to the actual glory, not this feigned little first half of Psalm 73 glory.
And right at the end of Psalm 73 is such a humbling thing where it says, something like, not, it, if I'm with you, Lord, there's nothing in the world that I want besides you. And that's the ultimate submission and taking up my cross is there's a lot of great stuff in this world, but there's nothing I really want other than you, Lord. And my faith has to grow so much to be able to say that. I just, Lord, get me there. Strengthen my faith, so that I have that humble approach to life, and I am just absolutely content because I have you. And if I'm a failure, if my life falls apart, I have you.
Isn't it amazing that in order to get there, in order for that to be truly, and that's what it means to be human. I love that picture that to sin steps you away from the humanity that God created. Obedience, steps you closer to that a little bit, but we'll never get there this side of eternity. That in eternity, in heaven, is the restoration of our true humanity. I love that picture. And yet, as we're, the Bible talks about, working out your salvation, becoming more Christ-like and stuff, that the moment you say, strengthen my faith, you could just imagine Jesus say, well, Mike, Pete, I'm going to let you pick up your cross. Pick it up and follow me. And then all of a sudden you walk into it and you're like, but that hurts. That's hard. Is there an easier way? And every time we pray it, your kingdom come, your will be done. In my middle years, that has been increasingly the theme is, Lord, please help me remember that every time something hard comes into my life, you are actually answering my prayer of your kingdom, your will.
Yeah.
And so if it's cancer or hurt or whatever, yeah.
And something that a trainer told me once was really helpful. He said, your job is just to walk through the door of the gym. I'll take it from there. Now, I had to do a lot of work as he worked me out, but he kept me at it, right?
Yeah.
And you know, our job is to walk in the door. That's what going to worship, that's what reading the Bible is Lord, I'm just walking into the gym. Mm-hmm. That's all I can do. And I need a coach there, a trainer who helps me see your strength, who sees the purpose behind this exercise.
Right.
Because that's part of what helps us through, right? Is, you know, a good Christian friend, a mentor, who can help us see, oh, brother, dear sister, there's a good purpose in it. We won't see it now, but hold on.
I love that picture. You just get coming through the door. I'll take it from there. That the thought when I was going through that conference that hit me that I haven't been able to put down was that in the gym, we'll say no pain, no gain, right? And that is awesome. And it's a large part because I know the gain that I want to look better or be stronger, whatnot. And I'm willing to accept that pain to get that gain. And the problem is that when I say, Lord, strengthen my faith, or even let's say you're an unbeliever and this isn't this Christianity thing, you still got questions, or you might know people who are in that space. And you're just saying, would kind of like Linus or Charlie Brown at the, you know, at the Christmas one. Does anybody tell me what Christmas is all about? Can anybody tell me what life is about? And into this comes that word, no pain, no gain. You want the deep meaning. You want the richness of what you were created for. Pick up your cross, follow me. And the hard reality for me anyways is I don't know the pain that I have to go through to get that gain, but God does. And I wouldn't choose it, but God knows the gain that he wants to give me. And so he brings me to it. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. The trainer knows best.
Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard, but so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is a good place to stop. I thank you for taking the time out to do this. The next time that our next one, we're going to talk a little bit about one of the challenges of this particular translation. We're going to do more of a conversation about Bible translations and the value of multiple translations. And I think you're going to enjoy that one. But for this today, this is such an important point. We are all born with the theology of glory. It doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus or not. We all believe in this. If I do this, I should get this. Some people would call that karma more than they call it theology of glory, but the path to walking with Jesus to a strong faith is with the cross. And so, Pete, thank you for bringing that to us today.
Thank you, Mike. It's been a fun conversation, helpful conversation.
Yeah, so fun. We did it twice. It's awesome. Hey, everybody, I'm Mike Westendorf. We want to thank you for listening to this podcast. It's great questions, great conversations. If you have questions about Christianity, about faith, things that you're struggling with or that you have friends that are struggling with, we've probably talked about a number of topics here that would be helpful for you, but we are always looking for ways that how can we help you see Jesus more clearly? And every time you ask us a question, it challenges us and helps grow us as well. So feel free to leave those in the comments. Send us off an email, visit our website at stpaulmuskego.org, and you can contact us there as well. So that is it for this week. We will see you again next time.